We're hanging out on Radio Row at the Radisson, and I'm here with Pete Silva. I'm going to read his title right. He's the Deputy Majority Leader in the New Hampshire House.
That's right.
Easy for me to say. You got to excuse me. I've had 10 cups of coffee already. All right, Pete, thanks for hanging out with us, finding our corner of the world. What's it been like in New Hampshire when everybody comes up? I mean, you're used to this, but for the rest of us who are up here, for the rest of us cowboys, is a little bit different. Do you feel like there's a lot of excitement over this primary?
Yeah, this is my second term. So the first term, I was more worried about my own election than anything else. So I wasn't really involved in it. All the candidates weren't coming after to try to get you on their team because I wasn't elected yet. So this is a different experience, especially being in leadership this time. You get pretty much an offer from every candidate to come on their team. So it's really been pretty neat, actually.
All right, and you threw your endorsement to Rick Perry, the governor of Texas. Why'd you pick Perry?
Actually, I joked, but I kind of stalked him. I picked him before he even started. And my thing is, like most everybody, I just want to see who can beat Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of research on him. And I think a lot that connected with Perry is my real job. We don't live off the $100 a year. My real job, I'm in medical sales. And a big thing that comes up is tort reform all the time, which he put in place in Texas, which I think we need everywhere. I also, being involved in the House, right to work is a huge issue for us.
We right.
failed this time, and we hope to pass it. Of course, he passed right to work.
Right.
And most recently now is I really love his stance on the cut Congress in half, send them back home, and let them live by the laws they created. That's what we do here in New Hampshire. It's a volunteer legislative body, and I just think I really love the way that works. I think if the federal government did it, it'd be better off.
If Perry, well, let's stick with Perry for a second. Do you feel like, because, you know, you're a New Hampshire guy, you're backing him up, and he was here in New Hampshire, and he was here for the debates, and he certainly has been on the ground, but then skipped ahead to South Carolina. Do you think that was a smart move on his part? Do you think that affects him in the Granite State?
I'm not a professional pollster or a campaign person, but I don't think what I've seen, I'm impressed by the professionals, to be honest. And I think it's a unique cycle. You have four, basically, big primaries in 1 month. I think you have to be calculated in where you move your finances to. And unfortunately, this is a beauty contest. It's money, 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 money.
Right.
And not everyone has the $1 billion like Obama to spend, so I think that that's what he was doing with it. I know I was at the debate yesterday, and afterwards he had a brunch with some supporters and to see us off and everything, or see him off. And he said then he probably shouldn't have said how he said the night in Iowa. What he meant is just to go back home and decide where to focus their resources. And I guess like a game of Texas Hold'em, you have to decide if you're all in or not. So
if Perry doesn't get the nod and it's Romney or whoever it is, Santorum or whoever it could be, the even money says, or more than the even money says, Romney, do you still back him up?
Anything's better than Obama.
Yeah.
So for me, it's I had a constituent of mine. I stole this from him. He said early on, I was trying to get him to come with Perry. He was the Herman Cain at the time. He said, Pete, only three things matter to me in this next election in the candidate that I pick. The first thing is, can he beat Obama? The second thing is, can he beat Obama? And the third thing is, can he beat Obama? And I think that's where we're at with this. It's I really believe if he gets another term, we're in big trouble. Healthcare will be solidified at that point.
Right. Do you feel like I was reading today in the local papers about what the voter turnout might be like. Are you anticipating a pretty big voter turnout?
You know the thing is, when you're a political geek like me, you just hang around with political people so that everyone is excited about it. I don't know about that. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of excitement. I mean, all the people I hang around with, they're
going to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you say my group, yeah, it'd be probably 100%, but I don't know. I don't think there's the excitement that
like there was for a two-party 2008.
Yeah. No question.
Because you have everybody.
That's right.
And it's just, and what's that like? Is it just mayhem all around the state?
I would have enjoyed it more, like I said, if I wasn't, I didn't know what to expect. I live in a very Democratic area, and, you know, as you know, there was all the momentum was that way, so I wasn't sure I was going to win. So I was concentrated on that, so I didn't pay a lot of attention to, I was kind of focused on my own thing, but, I mean, of course, they were everywhere.
Right.
But this time, being already in office in my position, they came to me. So it was different.
Yeah. Do you, what do you find, because you mentioned it, how much you get paid. Basically, it's not your real, it's your passion job, but you have a job to feed your family. What have, being involved in the local level, being involved in the state level, what have you found that's just been incredibly exciting to you getting in the political game personally?
Exciting or eye-opening?
How about eye-opening? There you go.
I kind of feed off what I was telling you about how Perry wants to cut Congress in half. We just went through a little political thing here in the state where, again, we don't get paid. And in most states, like this, take our border one, like Massachusetts. If you're a state representative, you get a salary, a car, all this stuff. But then if you get a position like mine, it's like an extra $25,000, $30,000 a year on top of your salary.
Right.
So when you are involved in that, there's a threat there from leadership that you could lose that. They can't fire you because you're an elected official, but they could take positions from you.
Sure.
So those games go on. I mean, everyone knows about it, but in New Hampshire, we don't have that. And I've seen things happen like that without even having the money involved. And the example I'll give you is we're doing redistricting this year. Every 10 years, you redistrict, and this is ours. So we have a plan in my city, Nashville, which is the second largest city in the state.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plan put together that would have sent one of the wards into another town. Well, this ward is mostly Democratic. So being in Nashville, I negotiated and helped get that back in. So now we're whole again. Every single Democrat that there is in Nashville is going to vote against the plan because the Democrats told them not to. So that's how crazy. So my point is this. If you take that for no money, two of them live in that ward. So they basically, this other town is highly Republican. They'd be out of it. They'd be unelectable. If you add money to that, like they have in Washington, that scares me. And that's what's opened up my eye, that how the combination of power and money, that you need to do something with these lifetime politicians. It's just bad.
Would, for you, in talking about that in Washington, it's interesting, would you ever consider making a national run?
I don't think so.
No?
I say that maybe, you know, you never say never, I guess, but I like what I'm doing with the state. It's kind of like playing golf, I think. You know, if I was a professional golfer, I probably wouldn't like it. I love playing golf, though.
Right.
So I think if I had to do that, that's my living. And the torments I would have, because look at, you can insider trade and you don't get caught. It's
right.
Not a penalty. So how do you avoid those temptations? It'd be, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do
It'd
that.
It'd be tough. What's your handicap?
A 15. I like it, but I'm not that good at it.
15, that was like me. I'm like an 18.
Yeah.
But I'm all right. I'm happy with 18 because I'm not getting out there that much. You know how that
That's
is. You're, we're all juggling everything.
Exactly.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So you're hoping Perry pulls up pretty big in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, I don't think he's going to do that well, and obviously he left here, but I hope he's going to do well in South Carolina. I think he's geared more for that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think it's a different election.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I agree with you. It was so nice to meet you, Pete Silva. Good
thank
luck
you.
In all your endeavors, and
thank you
so much. Appreciate you stopping by. Thanks. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Crowded house at the Radisson. Things are really happening, as I keep saying, at Radio Row. Excited to talk about something that I really care about, and I know a lot of the listeners do. I always say we're in all these nooks and crannies all over the place across the United States. Brian Baker's with us. He's with EndingSpending.com. I say this all the time. You need to get out a giant, at this point, chainsaw the length of New Jersey to cut down the nonsense, the ridiculous deficit that we have, and yet nobody's willing to even take a little axe and start to chip away at it. Brian, is my analogy kind of right on? I mean, why are we at $15 trillion? What is going on?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, the debt has like doubled under this president,
yeah.
And we really need to do something about it. And right now, what the leaders in Washington are talking about is just cutting the increase in spending, not actually cutting the spending that already exists. So our group was formed last year to really get people focusing on all the programs that need to be cut or sent back to the states.
Yeah. So in doing that, what are the main things you're trying to accomplish? How do you attack those goals?
Sure. Well, the first thing we did two years ago, was get onto earmarks. So we did a very aggressive TV campaign, radio campaign, and so forth to get the members of the House and Senate to agree to ban earmarks. Now, that's a small piece of the budget, everybody knows, but it's the grease that makes the system go. So with those gone, now Boehner and others have been saying in the House and Senate they can't get the big spending bills through. It's more difficult. So that was the first thing. The project we did right now is we got each presidential candidate on the record on a set of spending issues, exactly on videotape, what they would cut and where they'll cut. And you can see those videos at EndingSpending.com.
Yeah. For your money, who's the best? Who's the best choice?
You know, I get that question a lot. And to be honest with you, it's really for the voters to decide. I'll tell you, I think one of the most interesting answers, and I'm not a libertarian person, I'm not a person who's going to back the libertarian candidate, but
right.
One of the most interesting answers that came out was former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson said he doesn't know when we'll ever have a balanced budget if he gets elected. He only promised to submit a balanced budget. And I think maybe Ron Paul has suggested that as well, but actually it was an interesting promise. He would just submit a balanced budget. It's actually very difficult to do, but it requires leadership.
Well, and everybody, here's what happens. You turn on C-SPAN, we start talking about, this is the same issue that we've been talking about for a very long, long time. On my airwaves, that's all people talk about. We talk about this all the time. They know, whether it's Tomas in Michigan or Mark in New York, everybody is frustrated. It doesn't even matter their economic background, whether they're doing okay or they're struggling. The one thing that I've seen with everybody is they're very united on this front, and I don't even care what they label themselves. So how is it that we let this continue to happen and it's gotten this far along where we just swim right. In the red? How do we get back to the black?
Well, I think the tide is turning. When the Obama administration put forward that almost $1 trillion stimulus, and they said we wouldn't have employment go over 8%, and then employment went over 10%. People saw that just more spending, bigger government doesn't lead to more jobs. So I think the tide is turning, and we're going to start to see the government get smaller, hopefully quicker, but at least a little bit smaller a day at a time.
All right, so if you were to, you could sit down with whatever congressman, whatever right. senator you wanted to, and they'll tell you, absolutely, Brian, I'm totally on board with that. I agree with you. I mean, who are the biggest offenders?
Well, listen, what we believe is very simple. Every member of Congress should support a hard cap on federal spending. And if you don't have a hard cap on federal spending, then the spending automatically gets sequestered or cut automatically. And very, very few members of Congress have actually signed on to that. It's a bipartisan thing, though. There are some Democrats who signed on to it. There's more Republicans. That's what we're asking every American to do, is say, sign on to a hard cap on federal spending. And you don't have to amend the Constitution. Everybody tries to amend the Constitution, and that constantly fails because it requires a supermajority. But just capping federal spending doesn't require anything but a simple majority.
Right. So you start this movement, you're taking it to the people, and you're in New Hampshire, you're going all along the way, are you at other stops? So you'll be at all the stops until...
Yeah, and I've been. I traveled out on the campaign trail with each of the candidates in the past 3 months, and that's where I got them on videotape. So we're going to see their promises. And, of course, we're also running TV ads here in New Hampshire, ran them in Iowa, running them in South Carolina, to make sure that the primary voters pick the candidate who will most, get in there and cut the spending. We really need a leader on that. Everything else flows from the fact that our government has gotten too big.
All right, so and we're talking about, you going on the campaign trail Republican-wise. What about if it's Obama?
Well, we actually asked President Obama to do this interview,
mm-hmm.
and we invited Obama or one of his representatives. We haven't heard back from them on a date, but they have gotten back to us and said they'd be interested in talking about it.
Wow, that's interesting.
That was progress, but we haven't actually gotten the date yet. And listen, if President Obama wants to commit to a hard cap on federal spending, then we'd talk about him too. But right now, we don't consider them to be very serious about spending. Their budgets are so out of whack, it's mind-boggling.
But you know what they'll say? Well, with the hard cap, the problem is, Brian, we've got a problem. So if we just take, we've got to solve this problem of, like, we've got to keep going with the payroll tax cuts. We got to keep that up for another 2 months,
right.
And then our backs are against the corner again, against the wall, and we can't do it just now. So we need to raise the debt ceiling.
Right.
It's so there's a lot of soap operas you hear as reasons why it can't happen.
We get this all the time. We need more stimulus.
Yeah.
But I would say, how do you like the stimulus that's happened so far? I don't actually think it's helped. I think it hurts. All the economic studies out there show that when the size of the debt grows too big, the economy shrinks. That's just what happens. So if you want more unemployment, then add more debt. And I know that doesn't sound right to people, but that's what's happening in our country.
Right.
So that's where we're at. We think that the ending spending way, what I like to say is the ending spending way, we ought to try that for once.
All right, endingspending.com.
You got it.
Brian, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, so you can see some pretty interesting stuff and a lot of concern over the things that we talk about constantly here on America Tonight, and that's the deficit, 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 that it has to be about cutting spending, and we have to just cut the crap, and that's why we're seeing that there are a lot of groups that are pretty adamant about that, and that's the other part of what's going on in New Hampshire. I mean, this is the first primary, but you have the political issues, you have the groups, you have the super PAC folks that are around. I mean, it is a thriving Republican-rich territory right now, but you still have Democrats who are, one, trying to get a lay of the land to see what's happening with the campaigns, and also who are out there supporting President Obama, because it's not that he's not without supporters in New Hampshire. He certainly does have supporters, and they want to make sure there's some sort of presence. But what's interesting to me is that it's not an intense pressure or presence that I can see on the ground, and certainly not from all the people that I've talked to. Now, somebody who does have, and I've already mentioned this, a big presence is Ron Paul. He's had a couple of things happen, though, that people are talking about, including his latest row with another mainstream reporter, a CNN reporter. He cut off an interview with Dana Bash from CNN when she talked about his ability to connect with the voters. And the question came after a woman became angry at Paul when he left a meet and greet at a diner. The woman thought he hadn't spent enough time with the voters, and this was all reported in the New York Times because, of course, everybody's all over the Paul campaign. But his campaign issued a statement blaming the incident on the media, and he, you know, what basically they said is, this morning, Ron Paul attempted to hold an event at Mojo's Diner in Manchester to speak with patrons and supporters in the last push before the New Hampshire primary. Unfortunately, Dr. Paul and his family were forced to leave after over 120 members of the press created a mob-like atmosphere that was deemed to be unsafe for the candidate, Mojo's customers, and reporters themselves as well. So it was a huge contingency of people, and of course some of them were his followers, and there was a large number apparently of foreign journalists who recently have jumped on the bandwagon to see what's going on with Ron Paul. And because there was some shoving going on, and it's been reported that a reporter actually shoved Paul's wife, which is ridiculous, and told her to get out of the way, I think that this caused some of the concern over the safety of the people in the diner, and of course for the Paul family themselves. Isn't it interesting? Because you remember back in December, Ron Paul walked out of an interview with CNN political analyst Gloria Borger when she asked about his involvement with newsletters that were written under his name in the 1990s. So Ron Paul's saying, you know, I'm not going to have any of this. And actually, I don't blame them, especially for the diner incident. It makes sense to me because it was too dicey for the people that were there, and probably a smart move on his part. But there's no question you see bumper stickers everywhere. And there is a definite living, breathing, you know, heartbeat to the Paul campaign. He may come in second. What a showing that would be, or even third, would be huge for Dr. Paul. Stay with us. More coming your way next here on America Tonight.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details and your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I'm very thrilled to be here with Bay Buchanan. Bay, of course, on the ground for Mitt Romney. And, Bay, I think it's you can feel the excitement. I do. I think you can feel that there is a little buzz in the air. This is your backyard. Politics, you've been doing it forever. Do you feel that, though, or am I just jaded?
No, there's no question. You're correct. I don't even know how many. Since Reagan, 80, I've been in New Hampshire for primaries. And there is an excitement. And you can tell I've driven by a couple offices. That's what you do to get a sense. And Newt's office, for instance, been empty for 3 days, you know, his office. And that's not a good sign, you know. Things can happen, but that's not a good sign. But then I was at the rally for Mitt the other night, and there's overflow, and the fire marshals are there directing him in another direction. The place is packed with 1,000 people, another 400 over there. Chris Christie's up there holding forth. It's enormously exciting, and there's hecklers, of course. It's all what politics is about, and if you don't feel that energy and excitement that you're talking about and the crowds coming your way in those last 2 weeks, then as a campaign you're worried, and I think that's what it's clearly indicative that there's movement with the Romney campaign.
What is it that drew you to Romney? What are the key things that you like that you can tell our audience? We got a big audience around
the
country.
I'm delighted. You know, and I am a conservative, have been all my life, work these issues and work with candidates that I believe in, and I believe completely in Mitt Romney. I think that he is a, you know, when you look at what are the issues, what are the things that conservatives and Americans care about now, but in particular me as a conservative, I care about those reckless deficits and I care about the uncontrolled spending. There's nobody better than Romney on these issues. because he's completely solid. And then I care about illegal immigration. Romney's the best of all of them on it. It has been for years. He's very solid on the issue. I care about the jobs. Who's going to be able to create the jobs? Who's going to be able to get this country going again? Who's going to fight for American workers, even if it means taking on China and any other foreign government trying to steal our jobs? Mitt Romney's the person. And then when you look at the social issues, which I am a social conservative, he's a champion. I just saw where a letter came out from the social conservatives in Massachusetts that said, well, he was governor. He was one of their, he was a clear leader for them, somebody they could go to, they could rely on. And that's what I have found in him, that his values as a social conservative are as solid as mine. So I'm with him, and not only just because he's the best guy to beat Obama, but because he shares my views, my values, and my principles, and I believe he has the kind of courage and strength as a leader to really implement those things we all need to be done in Washington.
All right, you see what's happening with him here in New Hampshire. Let's skip ahead and let's say he gets New Hampshire.
Sure.
Then you move to South Carolina. And people are talking about South Carolina being splintered and, geez, what will happen to Romney? What if he doesn't get into South Carolina? He doesn't hit it off with the voters, we'll say, when it comes down to the tabulating the votes. Do you still say, I mean, you've got Super Tuesday, you go all the way through this.
Yes, this is, you know, it's interesting. He's won the first two, all right, and now they're saying we might not win the third. Well, no one's won two so far. So we're, you know, we got the big mo, you know, no question. We're going into South Carolina, enormous momentum, but the analysts are correct. South Carolina is not a natural for him. He had a lot of things that benefited him up here. His issues on the economy clearly were in line with what New Hampshire is concerned about. Down in South Carolina, it's more of a social conservatives are very, very well represented down there, and we have several good, solid social conservatives in the race. So you expect it to be splintered, but just like it was in Iowa.
Right.
So you go down there, you do the best shot, but I think what's interesting is that nobody's ever won the first two.
Right.
That's a non-incumbent. And he has. And so we go to South Carolina with an enormous recognition that he is not only a front runner, he's a very strong front runner. Any of the social conservatives running against him, they're not coming in second in New Hampshire, very likely.
Right.
They're more than likely fighting for third place. You know,
right.
It looks like this is either a Huntsman or Ron Paul, second place up here. And we'll see what happens there. It could be a surprise, but that doesn't give you a lot of strength. I mean, what do you go into New Hampshire, to South Carolina with if you came in fourth place in
right.
New Hampshire? I mean, that
right.
tells me you can't play everywhere.
Right.
Because Romney is playing everywhere. Iowa is totally different than New Hampshire. Now we go to South Carolina, we'll do give it the best shot. I'd like to see him win South Carolina. I think it'll make this a much shorter primary. But if he doesn't, you go right to Florida. That's how it is.
All right, so as we've already established, you've been in this game for a long time, Bay. If you're the person in charge, you've got to figure out, and you're part of that committee, to come up with I call it the undercard, who's the VP. Let's say Romney, let's go down the road, everybody's singing his praises. He captures this thing. He's got the mo, as you say. Boom, we're going to Tampa. Now Obama is the target. So who is strong on that undercard that helps Romney and resonates with conservatives?
Excellent question. In this race, this is what you look for in a vice president. The first thing the candidate has to do is unite his party. That's the first thing. I mean, you can't go into September with a divided party and you're not going to win. So you got to look for somebody that will bring, which will reassure those who have not been with Romney early on that he is someone they can trust, they can believe in, and has given them something to get their excitement, like a Palin did for McCain's
yes.
ticket. You know,
yeah.
Just, I mean, I never thought I could support McCain. Never thought I could even support him. I wasn't going to go to the convention until I heard Palin was going to be the vice president. I got on a plane and flew right out there. I didn't want to miss it, you know? And so got to unite the party. It's what Reagan did. We didn't want to see Bush on the ticket, us Reagan people. We've been fighting Bush for months. We didn't like the guy. We didn't like his people. And the next thing you know, he's in vice president and all his people walking around the office. We were just teed off. But he did the right thing. He united the party overnight.
Right.
And so that's what you got to do. You got to bring the party together. Then there's two other things you got to look for. You got to make certain you pick somebody who's not going to do any harm. You're not looking for somebody who's going to bring you, you know, a new constituency. You got to do that as the candidate. The vice president can't do that. He might be able to bring you a state,
right?
But you, and that's something. The third thing you look for: can somebody bring a critical state to you? That's really key. If you can find somebody, but the second to that, I mean, before that is no harm. Do the ticket, no harm. You don't want somebody who flies off at the mouth. The next thing you know, the campaign's trying to explain away some comment or two,
mm-hmm.
or might have something in his background that might surface. You got kind of make certain you vet them. And so sometimes you buy, you hire, you get somebody very boring. Somebody very boring who's popular in an industrial state.
Right.
Say, this is good. You go out to your state campaign and let's see if we can pull that off.
Right, right. It's funny, we're talking about Reagan. His name has come up now a couple of different times. And there is this, even the Democrats have, where there was a comparison, how Reagan-esque is Obama. I saw that headline somewhere. And what is it about Reagan that people really, they really... want to go back to those years. They want that Reagan-esque person.
I'll tell you something about Reagan, which people remember. You know, he would travel around this country before he won, when he was a candidate in 80, and the press would ridicule him. The press just, the people who covered him would walk into our national office after 4 days out on the road. They would mimic him. They would say, this guy just repeats the same thing everywhere he goes. There's no excitement. There's nothing fresh. There's nothing new. But you know what they missed? Okay? Everywhere he went, people listened to him. They felt that he understood. He spoke from his heart, and he touched hearts everywhere. There'd be 1,000 people in a breakfast. He would win 2,000 because they'd go home and tell their wives or their husbands and say, you won't believe this guy. And they were touched by him. And once you're touched by a candidate, that's it. You have them for life, you know. And they could see. People would badmouth him, say that he was, you know, he's too radical. And then they'd see him and they'd say, radical? The guy's a wonderful human. He's like my grandfather. And he's just, I knew pro-choice women who were close friends of mine said, I loved Reagan. I said, how could you possibly be with Reagan? He says, because I trust he's going to go to Washington and do what's right. I don't agree with him everything, but I just feel he can take charge and do the right thing for this country. I just feel that. And so that kind of leadership is hard to replace, where you just trust the guy. You might not always agree with him, but
right.
you trust he's
right.
he's looking at it. He's got the right principles, the right values. He's going to move the country in a direction that is correct. And that's what we all want. We love our country, and we want to see it turned around now. That's why we're looking for that kind of leadership.
What are some of the things that tick you off the most and have gotten you so fired up about this current administration and what's happening in this country?
A complete and absolute dismissal of the will of the people. Just couldn't give a hoot. The arrogance is unbelievable. You know, I mean, they pick and choose the rules, the laws they're going to enforce. When you take a state like Arizona, which is so bold and says, look, nobody from Washington is helping us up here, and our people in the state are suffering because of illegal immigration. We're gonna handle it ourselves, you know, just
right.
for our state.
Right.
They sue them. They won't do it. They've been asked to do it years after year after year, and they say, nope, we're not going to enforce the law. And so these guys say, look, we got to do it because that's our job as leaders of this state.
Yeah.
To take care and protect, make certain our people are secure. And then they sue them. What kind of outrageous position is that for the federal government? And so it's that kind of just, you know, to know that the American people were completely opposed, terrified of Obamacare, to know we don't have the funds for it, that we can't pay for it, and to say we're going to get it through anyhow. Push it, push it, push it. Let's get it through. It doesn't seem to matter to them that we are way in deep with our deficits, that our spending is completely uncontrolled. They just go next week and they say, okay, here's the answer. We'll spend more money. It's like having, you know, I often read, and I'm sure you have, people who have a husband-wife situation, a family, and one of them just spends wildly.
Right.
I mean, they love each other dearly, but the guy is like,
out of control.
Wildly.
Yeah.
I can't keep up.
Yeah.
And you can think of the frightening, the terror on that part.
Right.
And that's what Americans are. Like, hey, guys, hey, you guys in Washington, we can't keep this up. We're going to go over the edge. And so I think that he hasn't addressed and done something for the working men and women of this country who are so hurting, have lost jobs, or underemployed. It's an outrage to me that he just keeps going about his business of spending, and just not there for the people that are really in need.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, by the way. I thought ineffective. You know, the hope and change, I don't know what the mantra is going to be, what the tagline is going to be, but I can't imagine because I haven't seen hope and change.
Yeah, I I know that, like, let's say when he put through that ridiculous stimulus bill that was packed full of earmarks,
yeah.
Let's say he realized it was a mistake, it didn't work. I would be most respectful of him coming out and saying, look, I thought this would work. I thought it would help. It hasn't. We have to change paths here. I understand that. It's the same thing the left said about Bush and the war. They said, look, okay, he may have gone in, but it's not working. So what are we doing? You know,
right.
And then they finally had the surge, which everybody agreed. We had to make a change of policy somehow here. Come on, guys. Just
right.
don't keep going down the same path.
Sure.
That's what true leadership is to look and say, We tried something. It didn't work. Let's move on fast. Why didn't it work? Let's move. Come up with another policy. I didn't see any of that. I still don't see it. I just see words coming out of this administration. It's all about them. It's all about what they want. It's not about what's good for the country, what the people want.
Yeah. Dave Buchanan, passionate. I love it. Thanks so much
for
stopping by.
Great to be with you.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
If you don't want to be unprepared, BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness. Why do they lead? Because of best value, best selection, and their low price guarantee. Take advantage of BePrepared.com's inventory reduction sale going on right now. Save up to 43% on food storage and emergency supplies. Up to 43%. For example, be prepared with freeze-dried peaches and strawberries, freeze-dried roast beef, 180 two-piece first aid kits, 9-meal MRE kits, a waterproof multifunction emergency LED flashlight for only $3.99, and much more. BePrepared.com. All supplies last. But hurry, sale ends when inventory's gone. Call 800-999-1863. That's 800-999-1863. Or online at BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com. Best value, best selection, and low price guarantee. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
All right, so it's getting loud in the room. A lot of people hanging out at the Radisson Radio Row here in New Hampshire. Kate Delaney, of course, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. We're in New Hampshire, and we're here with the New Hampshire State Senator, Lou D'Alessandro. He's from District 20. And I've talked to a lot of your colleagues, actually, in local, I'll call it state legislation.
Yes.
And there's some interesting things happening in New Hampshire. First of all, how proud do you all feel about hosting the first primary always?
Well, I think it's a tremendous sense of pride here in New Hampshire. After all, the Secretary of State, who runs this show, was my student when he was 13 years of age.
Wow.
At Bishop Bradley High School in my civics class. And I've been involved in every primary since I can remember. So it's with a sense of pride that we look at this as a way to elect the next president of the United States.
Who's your guy? Who are you endorsing?
Well, I'm an Obama person, obviously, and very strong in support of the president. I was a Hillary Clinton supporter. President Clinton, a very good friend of mine. Mrs. Clinton, very good friend of mine. But I'm with Obama as we speak, and we hope to deliver the goods.
Yeah, and speaking about delivering the goods, the numbers are up. I was just talking to someone about that, who covers the White House daily. The numbers are up jobs-wise, and approval
right.
ratings are starting to come up. So do you think, as someone who is backing Obama, do you feel pretty good that, hey, he's the incumbent, the numbers are starting to come up, this is what we want to see?
Well, I feel a lot better today than I did a few months ago. I think his popularity has risen, and it's risen because of the extension of the withholding situation. That meant a lot to a lot of people. That's number one. And I think the president has clearly articulated he's for the people. I think that's an important ingredient in any reelection process. And I think the Congress came out in very bad shape, but they look pretty bad, pretty stupid, to be honest with you.
Right. And so in saying that, and how the Congress, the bickering back
yes.
and forth, as somebody who is part of a state legislature, when you see what happens federally, does it seem just so cockamamie to you? You got to work with guys and
right.
women across the aisle. What
sure.
gives?
Well, I think it's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. We need civility to be restored to politics. We need politicians who go there to work for the people, not to fight with one another, cause this log jam at the federal level, which I think is totally unacceptable. And people recognize that. It's not very good. It's not very good for the system. It's certainly not very good for America. I travel abroad a lot and listen to what people have to say about our country, and they think it's crazy.
Crazy of what's going on. Yeah,
yeah,
and that's what they
crazy.
Hear.
How can a Congress buck a president to the point where it just doesn't make any sense at all?
Yeah.
What are they there for? Aren't they there to represent the people and to get things done?
Yeah. You know, so when you sat down, you were talking about, Obama and getting it done and all that
right,
kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And you see now this is obviously all about Republicans and the Republican primary. Who do you think, from your point of view, because in Washington they say, the people I know, the insiders, say they really don't want Mitt. If you're going to look for trouble, maybe it's Mitt. Do you say forget that? Who cares who it is and just focus on?
I think we're looking on getting reelected. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. Now, there's no question that Romney looks good right here in New Hampshire. I think he's got a substantial lead. I was talking to a group of pollsters yesterday. We had a discussion about this as I teach political science at the local college. And Romney has a substantial lead. But it looks like Huntsman is soaring. He seems to be moving in the proper direction where Santorum is going down. And I'm always amazed by the support for Ron Paul. It's a dedicated group of people. I'm surprised that the young people are so strong in support of him. I think it has to do with the war, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What do you think, you say you teach political science. That's terrific that you do that.
Yeah.
Are younger people, when we're saying, 18, 19, are they passionate? Are they still involved or trying to get involved in the political process? What feedback do you get?
That's a good question. I think last time they were very involved and very excited. They don't seem to be expressing that same kind of excitement. I just spoke to a group from Hofstra University in Long Island. There were 50 of them visiting New Hampshire. And they asked me that same question. Do I think that the young people are as involved this time as last time? I don't think so. We've got to generate that enthusiasm or reinvigorate that enthusiasm. It's not here right now. Now, the only group of young people that I see who are very involved are those who support Ron Paul. They're out on the street. They've got their signs. They're chanting for Ron Paul. That's amazing to me. Now, I've been in his company a couple of times. I've heard him speak a couple of times. And very simplistic, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, does that give you... See, here's what I think, and that's why I love that you told me about teaching the kids. I worry that there's not going to be involvement. I worry because for our political process, once the generations go down, what happens? What happens to the United States of America? Why don't we have more people that vote? Already it's troublesome.
It's very troublesome, and we need younger people to be involved. We need everybody to be involved. I think people have got to recognize that being part of the process is a responsibility that they've got to accept. You just can't backlash it or, badmouth it or so forth. You got to be part of it. And make a difference. And I was in Washington when Obama was inaugurated, and I felt that enthusiasm. It was contagious. It was great. It was something that I hadn't felt since the Kennedy inauguration, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And we've got to get that back. People got to believe that their vote counts, that their participation counts, and that they're part of making this a better country.
Yeah. Lou, you mentioned when you first sat down about your relationship with the Clintons. Boy,
yes.
A lot of people really wanted to see Hillary Clinton go for it. Did you know in your heart there was no way after that 2008?
I think that's true. There's no way. I'm still in touch with the Secretary of State. She's a good friend. We had her at our home. My kids loved her. My grandchildren love her. She stayed, signed every autograph, talked to every person in my street. We had about 200 people at the event when she was running for the presidency. She's a remarkable woman, done a magnificent job as Secretary of State. I just think she's terrific. But is she going to be a player? No, I don't think so. She said that when she finishes as Secretary of State, that's it. I believe her. This has been a terribly exhausting job for her.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just look at
the travel. I think you can
travel.
See she's exhausted
the
travel.
You can see she's exhausted the travel. I'm going to be in Washington over the weekend. I hope to have an opportunity to get together with her. But I know what she's done. I know what she's done for the country. And I think that's remarkable. Her popularity rating is in the 70 percentile,
yeah.
Which is quite amazing.
And Republicans, too.
Republicans, Democrats, independents, and people all over the world have great enthusiasm and great respect for her.
State Senator D'Alessandro, thanks so much for talking with us here on America
thank you.
Tonight.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Thanks for coming to New Hampshire.
Thanks.
Take
it was
care.
Fun.
All right. So as I mentioned, there's certainly support in another direction, talking, with somebody who sees it from a Democratic point of view. So even though Obama's presence, of course, is not in New Hampshire, there are people on the ground. As I said, even though it seems pretty sparse, they're trying to pump up support for the current president. It's interesting. I was in a car full of very liberal media people driving back from the site of Radio Row, and in the car, every single one of the reporters felt that the president was in trouble, that if the election were held now, right now, that he would actually lose. So the points of view that are just banging around in New Hampshire are interesting from one extreme to another, but it shows you that with independents and whatnot, and even with some liberal Democrats, there are people that believe that really Obama has not sealed this deal, despite the fact that he's the incumbent and despite the fact that there's the perception that the job situation has turned around. Then what the real question is, and what ultimately we're doing here broadcasting America Tonight from, is to be here for the first primary and to see where these things are headed. And it looks like Mitt Romney is really picking up all those endorsements. Now, we've talked about this before. How much stock do you, the American people listening to the show, put into endorsements? Does that sway you in one direction or another? Almost everybody I talked to today, at least certainly anybody that was voting Republican, they were all pushing for Mitt Romney, other than some of the younger guys that I talked to in my hotel lobby who were on the ground supporting Dr. Paul and were going out to some of the rallies and whatnot in these last couple of moments. They were very excited about the possibility of what he could do. But other rivals, Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry, they launched off on Mitt Romney. They talked about some kind of an accounting of Romney's role at Bain Capital, which, of course, was the venture capital firm that Romney says is his success. He promotes success in private business, and they say he needs to take a look under the hood. In fact, Newt Gingrich did a national show out of New Hampshire, and he said at some point Governor Romney has to hold a press conference and walk through in detail some of the companies that Bain took over, where they apparently looted the companies, left people unemployed, and walked off with millions of dollars. And Gingrich is really trying to poke holes in them, saying, I'm looking for capitalism. If somebody comes in, takes all the money out of your company, leaves you bankrupt while they go off with millions, that's not traditional capitalism. I had a chance to talk to Newt Gingrich, one of Newt Gingrich's daughters today, and she said she felt pretty good about the campaign turning, if not in New Hampshire, certainly in South Carolina, or staying in it and seeing what happens in Florida. So I don't think Newt Gingrich is going out of this anytime soon. In fact, I don't think anyone's dropping out for at least another 8, 9, 10, maybe primaries. Stay with us here on America Tonight as we continue to bring you the action, the first primary out of New Hampshire.